Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here to this part of the service. I'd like to just pause and have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this morning here with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for the words that you have brought to us here this morning through the preaching of your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to take the things that we have heard and that we would allow those things to settle in our hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would be with the message here that is before us. Just pray, Lord, that you would help us to take these things and that we would learn from them and that we would be encouraged and strengthened and allow your hand to work in our lives. I pray this morning for those that are not with us here, that often are. I just pray, Lord, that you would keep your hand over them. And Lord, we do want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I'm thinking about this message, as a thinking about my work and as a doing construction work and thinking about my family and my children, as a carpenter, it is, I would think that it's probably important for those of us that are carpenters or farmers or wherever we find ourselves being in our line of work, that we want to teach our children something about that trade. Whether they embrace that trade when they're older, we're not maybe so concerned about that, but as a father, we want our children to learn a trade so they can provide for themselves. And so thinking about along those lines, as a if we find ourselves in being a carpenter, it's probably going to be important to us that our children know what a hammer is and how to use a hammer and a square and a table saw and routers and screw guns. All of these things are something that we see value in, and we want them to understand what they do and how they work. But in the end of the day, these things that we've taught to our children, they only benefit them if the day comes when they say, I want to use this, I want to be a carpenter like my dad is, and they take on that line of work and benefit from the things that their father has taught them. So this morning, the title of my message is Equipping Our Children with the Tools That They Need for the kingdom life. Equipping our children with the tools they need to be kingdom focused and living that life. And again, I would like to remind us as we think along these lines is that our job as parents is to teach them and to equip them and show them how these tools work and prepare them for the kingdom life. But in the end that they have, they ultimately make the choice and they choose whether or not that they're going to live the kingdom life. And as I was thinking about children and this, in 1 Samuel We read about Hannah and her desire for a son and how that finally she was given this son, Samuel, and that she very much, we can see in the writings there, that Hannah saw her son as a gift from God. And it was her desire to return her son to God in his service. And I would like to remind us this morning that our children are a gift from the Lord. In Psalm 127, just a few verses here, verse 3 and 4, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." So here again we're reminded in these verses that children are a gift from God. And the question that I would like to ask ourselves this morning, do we treat them? Do we value them as such? You know, when we're given a gift, we treat them and value, we treat that gift as something precious. In Matthew chapter 19, we see here the importance that Jesus had for children, going down to verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. So we see here the value that Jesus had on children and the importance of spending time with them. You know, he was told that, you know, it appeared that people thought here that this was a waste of time, but Jesus reminded them that children were of value and that we needed to be like them. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So as we go through these passages, I'm assuming that this morning that this is the heartbeat of us as parents, that this is the vision that we have for our home. It is the focus that we want, that we have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that our desire this morning is to equip these young souls with the tools that they need to walk the kingdom life. I trust this morning that is our heartbeat. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, a familiar verse, "A father's call to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It is our call. It is our responsibility to teach and to train our children. And it says to nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when we look at, you know, what does that really mean to us here today? And what I see in that verse is to care for and to encourage the growth and development of the child in here in this verse, you know, is to prepare them in and develop them for a hunger and thirst for the Lord. And as we think about teaching our children, I trust that we want to equip them to be where we are and beyond, to surpass us in our knowledge and our walk with the Lord. And you know, when we teach someone the ability to provide for themselves, when we teach them to take on a career, you know, if we really care about them, we would hope that they could learn everything that we have and go beyond and grow from that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, the commandment that we have here: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So here, a call to instruct our children diligently, intentionally. And you know, it's not just a session that happens a certain time of the day, or, you know, it's not a 15-minute session. Like, you know, in some cases when we learn something, it's like, well, you know, we need 15 minutes a week or half an hour a day or something to learn about these things. But the call here is to teach, you know, while we are sitting, while we are walking, while we lie down, and when we rise up. Sounds like a full-time job to me. You know, it's part of our everyday life. The instruction that we leave with them has value. It will help them through life. And then in Hebrews, just like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and read verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We see here Jesus, his focus in what he was willing to do. And as we think about our responsibility, you know, Jesus is our foundation. And we need, as we take on parenthood and training and raising a family, you know, we need to have that vision, and we need to move forward with it. Running with endurance. You know, when we think about endurance, is when we see someone running with endurance, you know, not much is going to deter them. They have a focus, a goal. You know, they're preparing for a race, and they're going to, if they're serious about it, they will do that every however often they need to, and they're not easily turned away from that. The vision that we have or had for our home, are we holding true to that vision? To be an effective parent, there's things that need to be taking place in our lives. You know, the story of God must be alive and changing my life. It's not just something that we talk about. You know, if someone is teaching me how to build a house, but he only knows about it and he knows some of the things that need to be taking place, but he misses a lot of the important details, we quickly figure out that, you know, he's only teaching me by the things he knows, but it's not a real life experience on his own. Another thing, what the church and God's word teaches, and the lives that we live at home, does it reconcile? Does it make sense? The things that we, you know, the church teachings that we have in God's word and the lives that we're living at our homes, does it add up? Does it make sense? Or if we look through that, does it only bring confusion and we realize that there's a difference and something isn't right? The role of us as parents is to connect to the hearts of our children. To connect to the hearts of our children. And this connection, this prepares our children to connect to the heart of God. You know, can it be done other ways? Yes, it can. But I believe this is God's plan for the home, and God's desire for our children is to be connected to the parents. And it prepares our children to connect to the heart of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, just like to turn to that. Verse 11 and 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Two things here in these verses. The Lord chastens those he loves. And a father correcteth his son whom he loves. The way that we are instructing our children, will they be able to connect the dots in this passage? A loving father, a loving God. When I, as a child, fail and make a bad choice, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. A loving father, a loving God. You know, when children are raised in an atmosphere, in a home where when they mess up and there's anger and you know, verbal abuse, and that's what they experience, then, you know, it's hard. When we read verses like that, when we see instruction or correction, you know, we relate, our thought process goes wrong. And so how do we find ourselves working these things out in our homes? Are we staying true to that? In Matthew chapter 7, as we look at verse 21, and just bear with me as I pull my thoughts together here on these couple passages here and try to relay them to you. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So we see here that it's not just a kingdom life, is not just saying the right things, but seeking to do God's will. So hang on to that. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And then in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So as we read these few passages here, and we think about family life and us as parents, how do we best prepare our children to live these things out when they are faced with these things as adults? How do we best prepare them? By just letting them live life and figure life out on their own? We know that, you know, if we don't take the time at some point in time in our workplace, if we've never run a piece of equipment or certain tools, you know, it usually doesn't go very well. If we've never seen it work, never been introduced to it, and then one day it's like, well, this is what you're supposed to do. And we will probably find ourselves, you know, failing pretty miserably. So as we think about these verses, what tools will they need? We see here that iService is not going to, you know, do the job. you know, just saying the right things at the right time, that's not going to cut it. What Jesus is looking for is obedience out of a heart of love. Denial of self to following Jesus. Having a real respect and love for others. And as I as we look at this, you know, I'm thinking of these, you know, thinking about children, I'm thinking of, you know, young children, you know, children that are, you know, 2 years and older, you know, maybe up to 8 to 10 years old in that time frame. These things, I think, are very, very important that we help our children work through these things. And, you know, the day comes when they can take the things that we teach them and they want to take on the kingdom life, and they already know some of these things and have experienced some of these things in their life. We can show our children how to do these things, you know, not being consistent. You know, if man sees, if we're not consistent in, you know, children get this mindset that, well, you know, dad and mom aren't here. We can do what we want. You know, it reminds me of that eye service. You know, saying the right things at the right time, you know, that's not going to work. And if we manage to only teach our children to do certain things when they're being watched, it's sort of, you know, that gives them the wrong groundwork. Being consistent as parents, you know, teaching them, young children again, teaching them to consistently give up their will for what we as parents see as best. And I'm talking about young children here. You know, are we teaching them to do that? Or when things get difficult, do we just shrug it off and say, well, you know, it's not worth the battle. It's, you know, let's take the easy road, or we'll come back to that another time. And do we teach them that obedience, that when they learn obedience out of love and the rewards that it has, the relationships that it brings into their life when they do that. Denial of self for the sake of others. Do we manage to teach that to our children? Or do we teach them to stand up for their own rights? You know, sometimes as parents, we want to do that. And, but, you know, if it's, you know, life isn't going to be fair. And if we teach our little children that life is supposed to be fair, we're going to prepare them for something that isn't real. And so, can we help them through in their little young hearts that life isn't always fair, and help them walk through that thing of giving those things up, and for the sake of others, for the sake of their playmates or whatever it might be. And then to help them have a loving attitude towards others. Help them to have a loving attitude towards others. Not, you know, that goes against what we like to think and feel. You know, when we feel like we've been used, our flesh wants to have an attitude of judgment. It's like, well, you know, I hope they take their turn sometime. And so as we think about eye service is not going to cut it. Obedience out of a heart of love. Denial of self to following Jesus. Having a real respect and love for others. Teaching those things to our children, and if we can help them use those tools in the family relationship, parents versus children, and equip them with those things, and so when they face the kingdom life and are ready, hear the call of making that decision, they've already experienced, you know, obedience, denial. They've already experienced, you know, surrender of their will for their parents. And now I'd like to just look at some passages here of things that in the Bible that people have faced. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, there in that first chapter, we see Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He was, you know, it wasn't just, this wasn't an incident in his life that it's like, was just an easy decision for him to make. But he went against the worldly counsel that was given him there, and he chose to, you know, rather eat the things that he knew that was pleasing to God. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It was very intentional. He knew the decision that he was making. He knew the risk that he was taking. You know, in Jonah chapter 1, what did Jonah do when he heard the commandment of God, when he heard God speaking to him and say, you know, you need to go preach to these people in Nineveh? He turned and went the other way. How can we help our children, you know, experience, you know, what, you know, be prepared for what that looks like when we turn from God? You know, as little children, I'm sure we as parents have all experienced this. We ask a child to do something. It's time to go home, or I want you to do a certain chore, and right away they purpose in their heart that, nope, that's not what I want to do, for whatever reason it is. You know, maybe it's because they're afraid, probably it's because, well, they there's something else they wanted to do. And it gets in the way of their plans. And say, so they turn around and they take off in the opposite direction. What do we do with those situations as parents? Do we just shrug them off? Or do we take that, those things, take those times as an opportunity to teach them, help them understand that, you know, this is a time that, you know, it's really important that you give up your will and that you sweetly obey what Dad and Mom have in mind. What would happen, what will happen potentially if we just, it's like, well, you know, I don't have time, it's too much work, it's, they'll figure it out, and we just let it go. You know, maybe the day will come and they haven't learned these things, and God is asking them to do something, and they, it's like, well, you know, it worked for Dad and Mom, I could do it then, I'm going to try it now. And they experience what Jonah experienced, and, you know, life was, he made life hard for himself. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph was sold as a slave. And we see in chapter 39 there that, you know, as unfair as life was for Joseph, we see that something, Joseph didn't quit. He didn't stop serving his God, because his master, in Genesis chapter 39, I think in verse 3, his master saw that God was with Joseph. How did his master see that God was with Joseph? I'm sure it was by his actions, the things that he said, the things that he was doing. You know, he was just sold as a slave, taken from his family, and, you know, he had reason to be down and angry and take it out on whoever he could. But he didn't. And his master saw that. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was, and maybe we just need to turn there, wasn't completely obedient. He did some of the things that he was told, but he didn't do it all. Find it. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 3. Now go and smite Amalekite and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So he was told here to totally destroy these people and their possessions, and not bring anything back. But in verse 9, it says that they spared, you know, they spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatling and the lambs and all that was good. All that was good. And would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So they obeyed partially. You know, how important was it here in this instance for Saul to be obedient? If we continue reading the story, we see that it was very important. So, as we look at that passage, what are we, what kind of tools are we giving our children? The way that we are teaching our young children, how will that help them face these types of scenarios in their life as they are grown adults? Have we helped them as we teach them obedience? What kind of obedience are we teaching them? Are we okay if they consistently just partially obey? And I'm talking about young children. Do we just, it's like, well, yeah, I know they have a will, and I know I ask a lot of them, and so we just let it slide. Have we given our children the foundational training that will help them in their spiritual journey? Or have we, do we find ourselves slacking and just being okay with partial obedience? As they grow older, do we allow them to try some of these tools that we have taught them? You know, we taught them how to swing a hammer. Do we let them go out on their own and start swinging that hammer on their own and see, you know, the skills that they've learned, and help them be successful? Do we allow them to succeed with some trial and error and guide them through those things? Have we helped them to think, what is the heart of my parents in this matter? Or do they rather think, well, there's no fences in the way. Dad and mom aren't around. We can do what we want. Which relationship do we want them to transfer with them to God? I think we all understand that, you know, if we admire children that are concerned about what their parents think about the matter, you know, maybe it's not even very important things, but when children think about, it's like, well, I'm not sure that Dad would be okay with that. And you can, we're blessed by that. A while back, we were visiting with a family, and the children were in our home, and I think I was getting a book, and I was doing things with the children, and I asked the one child if he wants to sit on my lap, and we'd read or do something together. And the child answered me and said, well, I'm not allowed to sit on strangers' laps unless my parents say so. And I was like, oh wow, that's amazing. They didn't know us very well, and you know, Dad and Mom weren't anywhere close by, but they were taught well. They understood the hearts of their parents, and that's the heart that we want for our children. that kind of heart in children doesn't just happen. It takes work. It's intentional. It's what we read in Proverbs there. You know, it's something that we teach as we rise up out of our beds. It's something that we teach as we walk through our day. It's something that we teach as we go about our work. It's something that we teach when we're tired. It's a continual thing. In closing, I want to leave this message with you, not to discourage us, but rather to take courage and to allow God to renew, to strengthen our vision. For the work that God has entrusted into each one of your hands. God is depending on us. And I believe that God believes in us. Psalms 127, verse 3, in the New Living Translation tells us, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. So if we believe that God has given us our children, and He's entrusted them to us, He's depending on us, and He believes in us. May God bless.